that the writer has put in place for us to read. Let's read this together. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people that you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by, Lord. Until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling. The sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. And then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." We need to celebrate God. And the songs that we sing, the hymns, "This is the Day," the "Amazing Grace" that we sing, all of these different songs, as we worship with abandon, as we worship the Lord. You know, once upon a time, the theaters had special movies for Saturdays. And we see that sometimes now, even they'll have kids' movies on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock that you can go for a dollar and just watch these old movies. But at a time, back in probably the 70s, maybe end of the early 80s, it was a series of movies. It was like TV. Essentially, you would go and you would watch one episode of the show on Saturday morning, and you'd have to come back next week to see the next episode. And so it was something that attracted people. The segments of those movies were designed so that the heroines or the hero of the movie was like an impossible situation. It was almost at a cliffhanger type moment, and you would want to come back to watch what happened. My grandmother and my grandfather talked about these movie theaters. Our little small town, no bigger than Blanchard, had one. And they would come and they would go there and they would watch these movies before World War II. And one of those movies that I remember them talking about was Dick Tracy. Now, I only know Dick Tracy from the comic strips. But they actually went to watch the Dick Tracy movies at this movie theater. And as the episode would end, one of these movies was ending that Grandpa talked about was Dick Tracy was in a diving bell. And a diving bell, of course, is like a big air chamber. It's essentially just a bell or an empty hole that they would pump oxygen into. And he's in this bell, and the air hose, of course, is cut by the villain, right? And then the movie's over. So you got to come back next week. He didn't get to go back the next week to see what happened. But, you know, obviously he figured it out and they kept having Dick Tracy movies, right? After that was over, he didn't die. But Moses led the Israelites into a similar type of cliffhanger in Exodus chapter 14. And though freed from bondage, they found themselves trapped between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. The Israelites seemed doomed, except for the fact that God was with them. And though I don't know what happened to Dick Tracy, I do know what happened to Israel. Today's lesson is about a song in regard that teaches us these important things some 35 centuries later. You see, God had promised Canaan to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the fulfillment of this promise seemed to be in jeopardy when Jacob and his family moved to Egypt because of the famine in Canaan. Still, God worked through Joseph a son of Jacob, so that the family could have all that it needed during the years of famine. And over the centuries, the Israelites witnessed significant leadership changes in Egypt. They had just as crazy a ride as we do in America with our political leaders. We have ups and downs. They had ups and downs. They were taken over by other countries and had their entire system of how they lived, their government, and what was important to these leaders completely changed. They also had these intruders that were called Hiskas. Hiskas were shepherds. So one of the things we need to understand is, why did the Egyptians hate? Why did the people who come and try to rule Israel, why do they hate shepherds so much? Well, one of the reasons is because shepherds actually came and took over the country of Egypt. They came in and they took over these shepherd kings. It means a foreigner. And they ruled Egypt. And so Egyptians developed a greater dislike for shepherds that, of course, is significant in the history and the emerging nation of Israel. And so finally, as Joseph is serving in Egypt and he's doing all these great things and providing for his family and the Israelite people, there comes a new king to Egypt that has no respect whatsoever for Joseph. And so measures were taken to subdue the Israelite people and to slow their population growth. And so after the Israelites spent 430 years, think about this. We like to see things happen instantaneously, right? If my computer doesn't do something within 3 to 5 seconds, I am upset.
Amen.
Yeah. She can't, when she tries to turn it on, if it didn't come on within a few minutes, she keeps pushing the button. And she calls and says, "Pastor, I don't know why this thing won't come on. Well, could you keep turning it off?" 430 years the Egyptians had to wait. 430 years. I wouldn't last that long. And it was during that time that Moses was born. And everybody knows the story of Moses. He was adopted by a princess of Egypt. He lived a wonderful life. But he had to flee Egypt at the age of 40. Because what? He killed an Egyptian. He still wasn't a valued member of their community to the point that he had to flee. Of course, murder is something that he didn't want to answer for. But he fled. And so 40 years after that, he comes back and he encountered the Lord at Sinai, who sent him back to the Israelite people. And God promised Moses, again, the same promise that he made to Abraham, that they would have this holy land. And so God worked through Moses and Aaron, and they had the 9 plagues that devastated Egypt, and the 10th plague took the lives of all the firstborn except among the Israelites. And at that point, the Pharaoh, who had no respect whatsoever for these shepherd kings, for these foreigners, threw them out of Egypt. It had been 430 years to the day since Jacob and his family entered Egypt. We know that from historical records. And so as God's people, and actually it says in the Bible, chapter 12, verses 40 through 41, if you want to check. But as God's people left Egypt, they were reminded again that their destination was Canaan. They were leaving everything they had known for hundreds of years, their families, their ancestors had known, behind. But Pharaoh changed his mind and decided to bring his labor force back, and so Egypt pursued the Israelites. And it seemed that the Israelites were blocked at the sea. They couldn't cross. And victory for the Egyptians was assured. But God had other plans. The Israelites crossed the Red Sea safely after the waters parted, but the Egyptians drowned when they tried to follow. The God of Israel was superior to any of the fictitious gods of the Pharaoh. The crossing of the Red Sea was pivotal in the history of ancient Israel. We still talk about it today. And so we see this song here in Exodus chapter 15. We see this music that we still sing a version of today. All three of the songs that we're going to sing as part of the worship. This is the day, even, that we just sang at the beginning. The one that we're closed with the invitation hymn. The hymnal is full of songs that repeat the same theme, that God is powerful, that He can overcome all things. And we are directed as a part of that to worship with abandon. God is preeminence. He is the only God. He is the only one of any of the Pharaoh gods, any of the... He's the only living God. All the other gods that people worship are dead. He is unique. He is great. He has power. He has the ability to stretch out His right hand and the earth will swallow His enemies. Does that sound familiar? We just talked about that story, right? The sea actually swallowed His enemies. Israel would see Korah and 250 like-minded rebels swallowed up when the earth opened its mouth in the book of Numbers. And in that instance, as when the sea swallowed the Egyptian, it was a sign of God's judgment on those people, on the wickedness that they had done and how they had persecuted His people. Deliverance was from the evil influence of Korah and others among the Israelites. Verse 13 of Exodus 15 says, "In your unfailing love you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength you will guide them to your holy dwelling." There isn't a song in the hymnal, there isn't a song that we sing in this worship service, these praise songs, that don't have this theme in it. When you're singing these songs here just a little bit, we've got three of them today, right? I think I saw Scars as one of them, by Casting Crowns. There's three of those, the old church choir, all these things. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed, in your strength you will guide them to your holy dwelling. These are all past tense. This song is about something that's already happened because they're recounting the Red Sea crossing. But it's something that we can look at things in our life and use the same song to sing. The nations are afraid of God. Our nation was founded. Our nation was put in place with a fear of God. A fear and trembling, it actually says in Exodus 15. Israel was founded with a fear of God, the nation. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall. If you don't listen, if you don't hear the power of God in our lives and the things that happen around us and the way He delivers us, if you don't actually admit the healing and all of the things that He does in our life and in your life, you will be afraid. Fear is the only other option if you don't have confidence and faith. Fear is the only other option. Don't have confidence and faith in God. God's arm celebrates the power of the Lord in working on behalf of His people. Through other nations would be resistant to the Lord, their efforts would be as effective as if they stood still as stone, the scripture says. And He makes promises to Israel. He will reign forever and ever. We see the story that they still are praising God for when He saves the Israelite people in the Red Sea. Witty observers sometimes, people who have quick minds about the human condition, sometimes declare laws to describe common human experiences. Murphy's Law is one of those things. Right? If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. Have you ever lived that? Has that ever been present in your life? There are two laws of mechanical repair. And Fred's not here to tell us for sure, but Randy is, right? There's two laws. Either things are, after your hands become coated with grease, your nose begins to itch. That's the first one. And the second for car owners is when the repairman tries to find the malfunction, the car runs perfect. Yep, but still have to pay that diagnostic fee. then there's the law of unintended consequences. And the Pharaoh got to see that. Because he finally yielded after the 10th plague to God's will. But then, guess what? After the pressure was relieved, see if this says it affected your life. Once the pressure was relieved from the Pharaoh, what did he do? He tried to take power back, didn't he? And he chased the Israelite people. And because of that, what did he do? What was the unintended consequence? His people were killed. Think about our own life. Think about things that have happened in your family, in your own life. I can think of dozens in mine. Where once the pressure was relieved, I tried to take things back. I tried to do things on my own, and there were unintended consequences. There were. God promises that. This song that we sing in Exodus, the songs that we sing in our hymnal, the songs that we sing in our praise songs, in Numbers chapter 32, it says this. It says, be sure that your sin will find you out. What more needs to happen for you to live in such a way that you don't experience the consequences of your sin? Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel, the tambourine, we have a couple of those down here, and went through the town singing and praising God with abandon. People thought she was crazy. But she was praising God. And so, you know what? When we sing these hymns and we clap our hands or we sing these praise songs and somebody sings awfully loud or off key or whatever, worship God with abandon. Miriam and both of her siblings are designated as prophets. And based on her comments, her role as a prophetess is appropriate, for she indicated that the Lord had also spoken through her. Moses identified her as a sister to Aaron in some of his previous writings. This is the first scripture that we see where she was actually identified by name. But Miriam and all the women used their drums, their tambourines, and the rhythmic dance to provide accompaniment to the song of Moses. So out of the second part of the song is worded in our next verse. It says this. It says, Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both the horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. Again, this would be like a chorus that we sing, right? Greta doesn't like the songs that repeat, you know? Gregorian chants. But this was a big part of church life, right? If you think about how did the church pass on information, it was through these choruses, these Gregorian chants, back with the priests and those things that were going on back in the early days. Now we have books. I mean, I have tons of books. You know, now we've moved it to where we don't even have printed books anymore. Now I have a laptop or an iPad here that has an entire library of volumes. And I was thinking this week, I was telling somebody, I was so excited when my grandmother bought me the Encyclopedia Britannica. Really was. And now, it's in a box somewhere in an attic. Grandma, I remember her saving for that, so she could buy me that Encyclopedia Britannica. And now I have probably 50 different versions of the Encyclopedia on here. Miriam sang, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver, he has hurled into the sea. When I was in seminary, when we would go up to Philadelphia to Palmer's campus there on City Line, one of the professors that I had he tried to offer a class for the freshman students of Eastern University, which is a Christian college that's up in St. David's, Pennsylvania. And he offered a class for them to get plugged into a local church. In other words, he wanted them to go and try to get involved with a local church family. And one of the things that my church did when we were growing up in West Virginia was if you went to Albus and Broadus, if you went to Eastern University, if you went to some Christian college, they tried really hard to make sure there was a family who was close by one of the local churches that knew you were coming so that they could invite you, take you to church, and could give you some type of family atmosphere, right? Because we're all part of a larger Christian church family. And, of course, they've continued that even more in West Virginia through what they call Baptist Campus Ministries, which is a weekly gathering on every college campus, public and private, in the state, that they actually have gatherings and staff that actually help them to plug in to local churches. The assignment that I was given as a part of one of my seminary classes was to visit three churches that were unlike the one that I was most familiar with. Well, I went to a King James only American Baptist church. So, you know, I went to a Catholic church and I observed a service there, fell asleep. Not because of the priest, but just it was a long service, right? Have you ever, anybody ever been to a Catholic wedding? Yeah. I usually do a wedding about 15 minutes. They're just getting started. I went to an Episcopal church, and then I went to a Greek Orthodox church. And the Greek Orthodox church was the one that I wrote about because it was the one that I thought, this is amazing. I mean, these people, every Sunday after church, they ate a meal together. They were truly a family. They baked a loaf of bread together that they had for communion. So they would actually rip a piece of bread off of the loaf. Those are just some of the unique things that they did that just struck me. But the point of this whole process was that if you are a student, if you were a student who had only attended contemporary services, if you were a student who had only been to a hymnal type of worship service, if you were in a traditional worship service, or you were in a contemporary, either one of those, there's going to be differences. And the interesting difference is that there's also similarities in that they both praise the Lord. They both are worshiping God. And so Miriam and those who sang with her exulted in both expressing their feelings about God and proclaiming what he had done for them. And that's the purpose of the hymns and the songs and all of the service that we have. The two are intricately connected. One of the things during the COVID virus, as Drev said, we've continued to raise money for the Mile of Pennies. But one of the things that we wanted to have as a part of our service, a worship service to the Lord, has to have music. It has to have some lyrical sense to it. Whether that's a Gregorian chant, which my wife obviously doesn't enjoy, or whether it's a skillet or red contemporary Christian song, which I don't enjoy. Because I can't understand the words. But there are people out there, young kids, that's how they praise God. And it brings back those same memories that Miriam is talking about as she's going through the streets praising the band. One of the songs, one of our songs, always come with a context. Okay? One of the examples of that is the story behind Amazing Grace. And you all know the story behind that, I hope. And that is that it was a slave written by a man who was blind. And it's about slaves. It has to do with all of that slave master circumstance. But it adds depth to those lyrics if you know the context behind them. And it's online. It's a long history in England, and especially in North America. It's shaped how we sing it and how we feel when we sing it, what emotions it brings back, the situations in which we've heard it played or sung change how we process the lyrics. So like the song that Moses and Miriam and the people sang, our songs come from specific situations of deliverance. Fan Crosby, one of the major composers of most of some of the hymns that we sing regularly, wrote them from her own life experience. The Gaithers write from their own life experience or things that they have witnessed. So does Michael W. Smith, and so does Matthew West, and Big some of the other ones that we sing. And so, what song do you sing with abandon as a result of God's character and work in your life, in your family, and in your church, and in your community? Music. Let's pray again. Almighty God, as we face trials this week, we commit ourselves to remember that in you we have victory. In Jesus' victorious name, we thank you. Amen. Let's sing our invitation hymn, My Jesus, I Love You. And as we sing this hymn, if you haven't accepted Christ, I encourage you to come forward so that we might be able to talk with you about the power that God has to bring you peace, to bring healing. My Jesus, I love you.
Body as we pray for Jesus Christ that was broken on the cross,
so that you and I might have hope of an everlasting life, that we might be able to be forgiven of all the sins that we have committed in our lives, that those who have come before us can be forgiven and those who come after us. If only they will believe, if only we will believe that Jesus existed, that he died on the cross, and that he lives today to give us the courage and strength that we need to live a life that's pleasing to him. Take and eat this bread.
Washes us all clean, and that's our only hope of salvation.
drink this in memory of Jesus Christ. One of the things that it says in the scriptures that they did after they had met was they sang a hymn. And the one that I usually do is the one verse of Blessed Be the Tie of Mine. So if I can get it to come up on the screen, you should know it. But sometimes when I'm up here, I forget things. So I have to have that. But anyway, let's stand together. Normally, in non-COVID times, we would circle the sanctuary together. But just know this is a song about you.
That we can come to expect and rely upon in faith. And God, we thank you for the glory and the power that you have. And we just do all this in Jesus' name.